If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
All right, welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis, and our good friend Imran. How you doing, man?
Yeah, man, good. All good.
Excellent. How are you? I'm good, although I'm a bit frantic. It's my last day before holiday, and I desperately wanted to get an episode recorded and hopefully out to the people before I disappear off for 10 days or so. So, you know, it's all about giving the people the regular content, as you know, as a creator yourself.
Oh, you know what you signed up for. Now you're in too deep now.
I know, that's it. You can't, I just, even if it's one person saying, oh, I haven't had, there's not been an episode for like 2.5 weeks. I'm like, oh no, my people are desperate for content. Yeah, but anyway, in terms of creative stuff, so the last time you were on, your debut single under your name The Anomaly had just come out, and I've absolutely hammered it. So I think your view count on Spotify is probably about 20% me, I would have thought, because I've absolutely hammered that tune. I'm really interested to see at the end of the year where it comes in my Spotify Wrapped, actually, because it'll be pretty high up, I would have thought. But yeah, and you've done another, what, 3 tunes since then? That
yeah.
You didn't even phone me up and tell me about. But anyway, I did look them up. And I've really enjoyed them all. But do you want to just give us an overview of how that's gone?
Yeah, it's all right. The latest one, it's called Go. That's now the highest streaming song on Spotify. And that's been pretty good. Got on a few good playlists. The main one being Indie Rock, an indie rock playlist. And it's been good. It's been good. I was happy with the reaction to that one. And now I'm sort of taking a little bit of a break now. It's just summer and like chilling out a bit. But yeah, the other ones are like not been streamed as much, but still happy with the fact that I've released these tracks, got them out there, completed them. And getting a live band together. I've been getting a live band together, and we've gone through 2 drummers already. Drummers are just really hard to find, like a good one, basically, because you're only as good as your drummer, really.
Absolutely.
So we're auditioning one next week or the week after. So hopefully soon he's the real deal, and we get to do some gigs. It's been all right. It's been all right. Just as a sort of side hobby thing, it's progressing along slowly but surely.
Yeah. No. Well, look, I really like them all. Obviously, like, you don't have the benefit of just lifting like a fantastic Sex Pistols riff anymore. You can only sort of play that trick once, right? I really like them all. I mean, Go. That's like pretty heavy. That's pretty heavier stuff. I like the fact that it was like it's sort of probably edging more into kind of the harder rock, like, because I don't listen to much hard rock, so I'm just like, the only reference points really are like, oh, it's more Holy Bible than it is Everything Must Go, because it's got that sort of darker, more powerful guitars and things. I think what I really like about your stuff is I love dynamics in songs. If a song's just like verse, chorus, and I think a lot of the modern kind of indie bands that get flagged and sent to me, it's like verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, and then it's done. You know, and it sounds very, it's just like Arctic Monkeys-ish, and like, you know, you can sort of hear, okay, I can kind of guess where it's going to go now, and I'm just like, okay, skip. You know, that's often how I feel about them. Whereas yeah. Your stuff, I never know where it's going to go, because you'll get a verse in the chorus and then there'll be like a fun little linky bit down that bam, and then we're off here and like, whoa, okay, we've gone off in that direction now. So
yeah,
I think that's what I really like, is that, you know, you don't just follow the pattern. You can tell it's like you never know where it's going to go. Anyway, that's I think my greatest compliment for your stuff.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that was a conscious thing, I think, because you write a lot of music before you play any of it or record any of it to people. And a lot of the stuff that no one will ever hear is just kind of really predictable and formulaic. And I thought, well, this has to be a bit more interesting. So, yeah, it's just interesting you picked up on that, because that was a conscious thing I tried to do. Queen songs are a bit like that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say my stuff is any on that scale at all. That's just sophisticated and all over the place. But that's just good. I appreciate that.
It's just the little bits, you know. It's like little bits that a song will be going one way, or then like you do a lot of like backing vocals, like these oohs and ahs will come in, and you think, well, what's that? You know, oh, okay. And it's just another little thing to prick the ears. I mean, have you got like a very, very short attention span or something? Because that would be, it's like, you need something. That's like, yeah, that's basically my issue. So,
Yeah, I think it's kind of an insecurity thing, actually. It's more like, oh, I need to make this, you know, keep people engaged, listening. It needs to be interesting. It needs to. So it's more kind of like not thinking maybe the song is enough.
Right.
But yeah, it's probably not an attention span thing. It's more like I need to show how good a songwriter I am.
And an arranger, and a, you know, and that's yeah. Something, isn't it? It's like the arrangements, and it's like the little linking elements and stuff. But yeah, so no, I really enjoyed it. I liked all of them. And so, yeah, so people can check that out, The Anomaly, and all the various places. But then, there you go. That's the plug, mate. Ten quid? 10 quid, yeah? Is that what we agreed?
10 quid? Is that what we agreed? I thought it was 5.
All right, 7. We'll call it 7. But all good. I've got to buy a book, actually, because I don't think... I said to my last guest, Anna Doble, that if we didn't sell 2 books on the back of my interview with her, I'd buy a physical copy of a book. And it probably has sold hundreds on the back of the interview, but it's just no one's actually messaged to say, oh, hey, Anna, I heard you on Oasis podcast and I bought your book because of it. So yeah, so that's annoying. I have to buy a book. But anyway,
that was a great episode, by the way. That was like just complete. It was so nostalgic. It was just like, wow. You're just both talking about all these memories and stuff like that. I was just transported back to that time.
Oh, and, thank you, mate.
Yeah, it's good.
I thought I talked a bit too much, to be honest. I was like, you know, but like, you know, like when you read Anna's stuff and like, and talking to her, I'm like, oh my God, I remember this. And so I'm like giving her all these memories and I'm like, oh, hold on, I'm supposed to be interviewing her. So actually, but you know, there we go. But if people know that, if they've got this far into the podcast and aren't sick of me yet, then it's fair enough. So, all right, cool. I appreciate that. But look, well, the thing I really wanted to catch up about today is we've not been giving Noel much love recently. Noel's had a few things happening and I've sort of mentioned a few times, oh, I really need to cover these things, And just not got around to it. But yeah, I suppose a really good place to start, I'd say, would be the Council Skies documentary. had so we had 4 20-minute episodes, so approximately, filmed by Anais, which is, which is cool. Obviously, she's in there. She's obviously they're a bit more comfortable with her being around. I get the impression. Maybe if it was like, all the proper lights and everything, then Noel would probably be a bit more guarded and like just playing the Noel Gallagher role rather than just chilling out. And yeah, and so overall, I really, really enjoyed it, and I really thought that Anais, like, I thought the editing and stuff was good. I didn't think it stuck on things for too long. I thought it was just a well-produced, put together, behind the scenes look that I just wish we had for all the other stuff they've done, to be honest.
Yeah, I wish that it was of an album that I really loved. Yeah, I have to say, I know there's a lot of love for Council Skies. And I don't think it's bad, but it's not my favorite like material that he's done. But the thing is, I just watching that documentary, wow, it was just for me, as a music maker and creator, it was just, I was just geeking out on everything. Just like, oh, what microphones? That's interesting. He's using a pencil mic, and for how to, it's interesting how they're recording the acoustic guitar. Okay, the mics are placing in there, and sort of like trying to almost like learn whilst enjoying, like watching the behind the scenes, and like the headphones. Oh wow, I've got those headphones, the Beyerdynamic Dynamic DT250. It's a proper like geeking out and all the stuff, but also like the creative process. And watching it, really, it confirms a lot of like what I was doing. So it's like, oh cool, I do that. That's really cool. And like, oh yeah, I thought that was sung a bit heavy as well, and they're doing that again. And yeah, I mean, I could just have that on for hours. Like, I know there was a lot of, overall those four parts probably made up about 2 hours worth stuff, maybe an hour and a half.
Hour and a half, yeah. I think they're about 20 minutes each, 20, 25 minutes each. So yeah,
Yeah,
about an
there was
hour
what, the
and
last one was at half an hour.
a half. Oh yeah, what, that last one longer, yeah.
But on YouTube, I think they like edited it. There was a shorter version on YouTube, but if you're part of the Noel Gallagher
Club.
club, yeah, you get to see the full one. But yeah, no, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, just for me, like, I made notes on each episode, but I think that, yeah, I wish we had this for all the albums. Like you said, like, this is the sort of stuff. I mean, just seeing stuff, like, just being in the studio with them, seeing all the posters. Like, obviously, this is Noel's little, like, man cave, isn't it? He's got all his Beatles posters, he's got his Ireland poster, it really is. He's got Pep there, he's got all the little toys and trinkets and stuff. He's obviously, spent so much time and effort in designing it. So that was just really, really great to see. And for me, my main thing, like, all my notes is just like, Strange Boy, Jess, Gem, like, when these people turn up, because having followed them for so long and having interviewed a few of them, like Jess and people like that, it's like, hey, it's them. It's like, their friends pop in. It's like a guest star on a sitcom or something. It's like, hey, it's them, and I suppose the way he did it, it's not like the band are in recording, and that's it. It's like Noel is pretty much, it's just Noel, Strange Boy, and Callum all the way through. And what a gig for Callum. Fucking hell. Like,
Oh my God, I wish I was him.
I wish I was him as well. I mean, I'd be absolutely useless. I don't know what these buttons do. But yeah, I mean, fucking hell. But yeah. And then, so you've got those core three people really that are just there all the time. And then just all these people popping in and out. Johnny Marr comes in, the Roxy's come in, like all of these guys come in and like, Mikey Bro, hey, like that. It's just like, I just love it. I love the fact that these people, this little world we know, and they just come in, there's no messing about. You just see them doing what they do, and then they're off again, I love it.
His high-flying birds just popping in. Yeah, you had jo after a while I was like, how many people are playing guitar on this record? It's like, obviously you got Noel, Johnny Marr, Jez, Gem. It's just like, yeah, just absurd numbers of guitarists. But and then you had Russ very briefly, but I think Strange Boy plays bass. Sorry, Jez didn't play guitar. Sorry, straight Paul was playing guitar. I found it really funny how did you notice how Jen was playing this guitar? Sort of like it wasn't on a strap, but it was kind of in front of him, in between his like legs. It was quite odd because usually you kind of got the guitar closer to you. It's like touching your chest and stomach, but he kind of had it like really far out. I thought that was really funny. But just the whole studio. I was looking at those sort of Beatles, the psychedelic kind of John Lennon and Paul McCartney things on the
The
walls,
four. Yeah, I've seen those
and then
four of them.
they just had Talksport playing. Did you notice that? Just in the background throughout the entire, like while they're mixing and while they're recording, Talksport blaring out in the
Near the
foyer.
end, it's like, and Gareth Southgate squad, blah blah blah, you know. But I think that's great because, like, in 20 years, when people look back, if you were looking back now and listening to like Oasis, then it would be like, and Terry Venables, blah blah blah. You'd be like, oh my fucking Terry Venables. So it's a nice little element of the time, isn't it?
But the creative process is interesting because Noel, like you said, it's not a band playing, rehearsing together and then recording together or recording their parts and stuff. It's Noel's got his demos, and then those demos already sound pretty good anyway. Although obviously Strange Minds had that sort of disagreement throughout the documentary. Noel will always say, "Well, I thought it sounded great." Paul said, "Well, no, it's good that I'm here then, isn't it?" And kind of there's that tension between them. But so you got the demos, and then just sort of like everyone doing their thing, and sort of Noel explaining like what it's like. But I liked how Noel wasn't really that technical. He was technical at times, but it was kind of like it needs to be a bit more this and that, heavy or whatever. Minery and stuff. I was like, oh that's how I communicate, is because you don't quite know how to put it, so you just kind of use terms that like explain what you're trying to say, and then but that creative process was interesting.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, just little things like I picked out, like, that when Rosie comes in early doors, and Rosie sat there, the string arranger, and like, and he's just playing of the tunes, and he's sort of sat there looking like, and that must be like funny as a music creator yourself when you play someone something for the first time and you're like that, and she's like, okay, and then but then Dead to the World plays, and everyone's just like, that's wow, like everyone's blown away by it. And that reminded me of when I first heard it, and I did an episode on it, and I'm like, I can't even like put into words, like, because it's just so amazing. But yeah, it was lovely to see that. And it's like you see Noel almost embarrassed as well, because he's playing his music to these people, and as much as he's fucking Noel and he's got that dichotomy, isn't he? He's arrogant and he loves his own music and he thinks he's brilliant. But also, I think he sort of he accepts, like, okay, it's still weird, it's still weird for someone to have that situation, to have the to have people listen to your stuff. You're still putting yourself out there, aren't you?
Because they get sort of, the cellos particularly get sort of swallowed up with the reverb. So,
sure.
But I think we can make this work brilliantly. I think it's really inspired and it's a fucking brilliant idea.
Dead to the World.
Oh yeah.
That's a great title.
Strap yourself in.
I love that.
I'm in the goosebump factor.
That is such a tune.
Thank you very much.
It's so
oh, mate,
amazing.
That's absolutely.
You're proud of that one?
That's my favourite one.
That's
it's gorgeous.
It's
the first song I wrote,
That's
really,
so inspired.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Yeah, that moment is just complete vulnerability, and it's just like difficult to, if someone says that they don't like it, it's difficult not to take it personally. But obviously, you just, you know, you can't take it personally. Everyone hates and loves. There'll be an equal amount of people that love your stuff, but that just hate it. But yeah, that was interesting with Rosie coming in, having the chat, and then they did it all. Rosie composed it all with the help of her, who she was working with, put it on the computer, and then then we had Noel listening to those compositions, and then they went in and recorded it with actual
Abbey Road,
life musicians, and that was a good insight. I think we just saw so much of Noel's non-public persona. Yeah. It's so good to see. Like one moment that stood out for me was when they were listening back to a guitar track. I don't know what song it was, but they just had the guitar track soloed. It's some rhythm playing, and there were loads of mistakes in it. And he just started just cracking up. He just found it really funny. Because the mistakes just sounded hilarious. Like, it was like, and he was just like, who played that? And I think we got to record that again. And he was just in hysterics. And it's good to see that the process, obviously, they is it, do you pronounce her name Anais? Did you say? I thought it was Anais.
I've always said Anais.
Anais.
They say, I think that's like the French way. But okay. I think when I hear him say it on Matt Morgan, he says an ace or something.
But yeah, obviously she could have edited it, but it felt like it was just a really joyous process.
Yeah. Yeah. No, great. There was just some cool lines, like, you know, when Johnny Marr came in and he's adding stuff, and then they say indie trespassing, because it's like, I just love that, like, you know, and you can just see when Johnny Marr comes in, it's like everyone else there is a fucking brilliant musician, right? You know, they're all excellent musicians. But then Johnny Marr comes in and it's just like, okay, this guy's another level. This guy's just an absolute genius.
Yeah.
One of the things I really liked, both with Gem as well, and I, you know, not being a, you know, I have, you know, my band in the 90s went into the studio a couple of times, but like, the fact that obviously when they're doing vocals and things that have got an amplifier, you've got to be in the room, you know, in the studio room. Whereas I suppose when you're doing like, when Mikey Rowe and the guitar players are doing like direct into the desk, so then they're just sitting in like the control room and on the sofas and stuff, and they're just playing it. So he can just talk and be like, yeah, a bit more like that, a bit more like that. And it's just straight in, right? And I just like that vibe that they're just sitting around on sofas and he's playing, and that's what's on the record. How cool is that?
Yeah, well, no. So what they're doing is, because the room where all the amps are, that's where all the sound is coming from through the mics. And then they're just sitting in the control room, but they're actually recording the amps that are in the other room. And yeah, I mean, I'd love that setup.
So wait, hold on. He's not direct into the desk. He's still playing it through the amp.
There's
a microphone in front of it, but he's...
Yeah.
But he's sitting in the control room.
Sitting in the control room. Yeah, they've just got it all cabled up. They're most likely recording two amps at the same time, but maybe 3, 4, 5, and then, you know, use. They've got options to use, but usually two amps blend the sound, and it's all then coming back out through the speakers, through the mics and the amps in the other room. But I personally record straight into the, because I don't have the live in a flat as well, so I don't have the luxury of having amps blaring out and stuff. So I've got amp simulators in the software through plugins and that simulate those sounds. But yeah, one thing about the Johnny Marr thing was how excited Noel was. Like you could just see, it was just like, this is amazing, you know, what you're playing is amazing. But when he was just communicating with him, it was electric. You could feel the excitement that he was feeling. And yeah, I mean, he's just a master. I mean, that you had some footage of him just playing, like doing what he does, and it's just like, wow. It's really amazing to see that sort of jangly plucking and sort of non, like his own style, which is not kind of generic or, you know, not, he plays guitar just so uniquely. And it was, it was amazing to see.
Mm.
You know, maybe if you go, that sounds great. Maybe if you just go really down,
just punk it out.
Oh, I'll go down.
Yeah, a little passing thing. Yeah, so, okay, yeah, let's do it. Down, down.
Okay. Let's do this. Just go for that. I might be a bit busy at the moment, but I don't want to lose the essence.
No, that's great.
Okay, let's go for that verse then. Yeah, thanks.
No, see, and I don't know how you feel about it. For me, it's made me appreciate the album more. And I think when I first listen to a song, like I said, like talking about your stuff, I'm very focused on the dynamics of the song rather than the sound. I know a lot of people are much more into the sound, you know, and like I'm not bothered about fancy headphones, right? For me, I'm fine listening on crap headphones, little speaker, I don't care, because I'm just going like, what's happening on the chords, verse, chorus, lyrics, that's a song for me. And if it sounds great, if it's produced well, great, but I just can't hear it. You know, I'm not that minded. Whereas what I think, so a song like comes out, like, and I was quite critical of a few of the songs on Council Skies for being derivative of Noel's other stuff or reusing melodies and things like that. But then when you hear, and I think a lot of that criticism is still valid, but then when you hear him, you know, doing these individual bits, so you hear him doing the vocals separately, you hear Johnny coming in doing his guitar part separately, you know, and the way they work it and the way they're thinking about, okay, well, if the strings are going to be doing that, then we should probably be doing something here. And when you think more about the overall composition and the layering, I really appreciate it more now. And then I've deliberately gone off and listened to the album a few more times since. And just like listening out for those bits, that's Gem's bit, you know, that's Johnny's bit, you know. Have you found like a more of an appreciation for it since, or are you just sort of, you know, just enjoying?
No, 100%. The song Council Skies, like you say, when it came out, it was like, well, this is the Ballad of the Mighty Eye, and combined with, I think it was Pretty Boy or Easy Now, he like just took some melodic bits, and then I was like, well, yeah. What's new here? But that song has grown on me. And I have gone back and I've listened to where Johnny plays and wondered, oh, is that Gem? Who is that? Is that Strange Boy? Is that Noel? So it does, yeah, it has had that effect on me as well. But still, I've not like completely hammered the album, really. It's like, I think what's the song? We're Gonna Get There in the End. That's my favourite one, which I've listened to a lot. And what's the one with the paranoid android melody?
Oh,
There She Blows?
There She Blows, yeah.
Yeah, that one. I would have loved to have seen Who Built the Moon, like that.
Yeah.
You know, working with, what's his name?
David Holmes,
yeah. I think that would have been fascinating as well.
But yeah, they had a bit of back behind the scenes, but it was one of those more professionally shot, So yeah. You've got a professionally shot interview and then little bits of, you know, there's like the stuff of why is he recording her stuff, I remember. So there's a bit of it, but nothing like, you know, nothing like we got here, is there? But yeah, it's just a fascinating process. I mean, I would, you know, like, and in terms of just what it's generated, I mean, just the thing I loved, you know, just there's a couple of bits where you see Noel in the studio in the like recording room bit, just playing the guitar and singing. And he's doing songs that like we've never heard him play because he didn't do them live.
Yep.
I'm like, that's, you know, when they do like acoustic version, when he releases them on these sort of on the bonus disc and stuff, but it's not an acoustic version. It's just the studio vocal. It's just the studio recording.
Exactly.
But just stripped out half the instruments and just left a couple. You go, no, but that's what I want. Even if it's four takes of him fucking it up and the studio chatter, that to me is more powerful than a perfectly recorded, you know, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I it was interesting to hear Noel singing, doing takes, and hearing imperfections. Because I noticed that, like, his voice will like, crack up a bit, but obviously we're hearing a take that's not being used. And that was good, because you think, oh, right, okay, you know, even Noel Gallagher is not perfect. And it's kind of good to see that. So, everyone's like, it can take a lot of takes sometimes to get something right. And when Noel said to Jeff, oh, whenever you get one of these fiddly bits in a song where you need to, you know, get the melody has to be precise, just loop it.
Yeah.
He said, just loop it 10 times and eventually you'll get it. And it's just, it's affirming. It makes musicians like me just feel better about themselves. I mean, it took me God knows how many takes to do that guitar, but that's okay, because that sometimes it's like that.
Yeah, and I think that's great. What I like about Noel is the fact that he'll find shortcuts, and he'll say, "Oh, just fucking just
loop it.
Use that bit, loop it." You know,
just get it like, right once and loop it. Yeah,
get it right once and loop it, or like, just figure that out on the computer, Callum. You know, like that's like, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I mean, I think that's like the main kind of message sort of I sort of took from it. It's the simple, even when they're playing the guitars and stuff, often it's not about, you know, fiddly playing or fast playing. It's just like play the chord, let it sing. You know, it's about, it's funny. There's a bit, sometimes it's less is more. And then sometimes he actually says more is more.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so I think it was on Council Skies where he's like, actually, for this one, it probably is more, you know, because that's sort of what it's about. But I think that's the one thing he's very, very good at as an arranger. And you can just hear it, you know, in his ears. Like, you know, he's sort of saying, he doesn't have the technical terms, like you said, but he just knows in the sort of the tapestry of the song, you know, when to drop out, when to, you know, even if you imagine, like, if Johnny Marr was playing on my record, I would want every single thing he did to be in there. But he knows, right, actually, no, that bit doesn't work here. Let's take Johnny Marr out. And you know what I mean? So I think that's really, you know, ultimately what I took from it.
That's an art as well. You know, that's a skill, and that's a skill set that he, just is amazing at. But yeah, sometimes it's hard to drop things and know when to... have loads of stuff playing and when not to, because it's easy to throw too much at something. Another thing that I found interesting was, so a documentary like this, I wonder if at the height of Oasis, I mean, I know we had the Be Here Now like documentary or whatever that came out around the release, but so having something like this behind the scene, I think this kind of showing this side of a band is a modern thing. It's more of a modern thing, having this readily available for anyone to watch and showing these sort of imperfections and showing the process. I think we live in a different time now where this kind of stuff is like happily put out by bands. But I wonder if Noel and Oasis and everyone would have been happy to have given such an insight like this at the height of Oasis, or whether they were, back then we lived in a different time where mystery was, you know, you couldn't just type in a song and start listening to it on a device you had in your pocket, and you only really saw, like, through magazines what they were saying in interviews and you know, TV appearances. And it's just it's a sign of a different time we live in now.
No, that's a good point. It would sort of destroy the mystique, wouldn't it? They were so exciting. I think what just sprung to mind for me, completely random, but it was like, now you can get to see so much football that when you see Brazil play, you're like, oh yeah, well, I remember him, he played for Leeds, you know, whereas when you're watching Brazil back in the day, it'd be like Ronaldinho, wow, who is this guy, or like, you know, Bebeto, and it's all these amazing names and these players you'd never seen before. And then they're doing all these, Danielson, when he first appeared and started doing all the stepovers, you're like, they're like from another planet, you know, whereas now it's like, oh, well, I've seen him because I watched his highlights package on, you know, on YouTube, of seeing his stuff for Palmeiras. And it's like, it's just not as exciting, is it? There's something to be said for suddenly just having this one piece of magic.
Yeah, you're right. It's a really good analogy. But yeah, you know, we live in a different time now, and it's kind of, we're privileged enough to have lived both, I guess.
Cool. All right, well, look, that's so that's the Noel documentary series, and you went to see Noel recently, didn't you? See him at Ali Pali?
Yeah, saw him at Ali Pali.
How was that?
I'll have to say it was better than, because I saw him at Crystal Palace this time last year, and the crowd were just much better. I mean, the crowd were not that at Crystal Palace, but the crowd was just amazing. Like, everyone around me, I was quite near from the front, about 10 rows from the front. Everyone around me knew every single word to all his solo stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, this is, you know, this is great. And it's such a good venue because, like, you turn around and, like, because it's on a hill, and you can see everyone's face just, like, going up. And it's, the weather was great. And yeah, I had a better time. And the thing, when I compare sort of Noel with Liam, which you inevitably do, it's just, Noel's band is just amazing. Like, so much better than Liam's band, even though Liam's band play tunes that you just really want to hear Liam sing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they sounded great. Oh, that was the other thing, the sound. So I saw the Mannix and Suede at the same venue on the Thursday, and 2 days before. And the sound was so much better at Noel's. I don't know why that was. It wasn't particularly windy or anything, but, you know, that shouldn't make a huge difference. Just I remember the sound, just, you could feel the bass drum in your chest at Noel. And the sound was just so much better. Everything was so clear. It just sounded amazing. They were amazing. And I wasn't expecting it to have enjoyed it as much, because the set list is pretty much the same. That is a slightly disappointing thing. But there were two songs that I've never heard them play. Talk Tonight with the whole band, which was just, that was really special, just hearing a completely different version of it, and then Whatever, I think that was the other track that didn't play last year.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day.
The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it was really good. I didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I did, but only because of the set list, really.
Awesome. Was there much banter on stage? I haven't caught any.
There was after the break, so he does his sort of high flying bird stuff, and then Dead in the Water, and then comes Oasis, and he sort of said, "Are you ready to go into the 90s?" And then we sort of went in, did the Oasis stuff. But what was really funny was Chris on drums was sort of. I was watching it. You know how he does that, sort of throws his stickers in the air and twirls his stick. And it was just having a really good time. And I did notice, I was like, God, this is, you know, it's really nice to see like joy, pure joy on stage. And Noel sort of caught an eye of him in the corner of his eye and saw that. And then when, I can't remember what song it was, but after the song stopped, he kind of said, "You're having a good time there, Chris." It's like, "You're right." It's like, and he kind of nodded and said, "Well, you know, at his age, he doesn't really get to enjoy himself much, so it's nice." And then that kind of became a running thing, because I think it was the next song or like a couple of songs later, again, Noel sort of turning around and he's not singing, and he kind of sees him. He's just cracking. And I was just cracking up at how much fun Chris looks like he's having.
That is great. I'd love to interview Chris, actually. I've never... Yeah, I don't think he does many interviews, but I'd love to speak to him. What a career that guy's had. Crazy, really.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
But one thing was I noticed, I couldn't really hear Jess for the first four songs, sort of Council Skies ones. Couldn't really hear her.
Yeah.
And generally, they had the Roxies, I think, were there.
Mm-hmm.
And Russ as well does some backing vocals, but... No, apart from that, the sound was really good.
Cool. Well, I haven't got tickets for Noel this summer. It's just that they haven't worked out. Like, I'm on holiday next week, so it would have been difficult to get out this week and stuff. So, but I'm going to try and catch him. He's playing, like, a few random festivals and things that you know, I don't know if you can get day tickets for, but, yeah, I will try and get him. Then I was less bothered than when it's like, okay, it's exactly the same set list, so... So yeah, maybe we'll catch him if he does something later in the year. Cool. All right. Well, look. And then the only other thing I wanted to talk to you about was that he'd done these, which I still haven't covered, which is a couple of months ago now. But the Black Keys released their album, Ohio Players, which was kind of a collaboration album that they're writing with different people. Like Beck comes in and does some songs. I love Beck. You know, I think that he's brilliant. They work a lot with Dan the Automator, who's the producer, who's done a lot of stuff, like, well, loads of great stuff in the past. And then obviously Oasis-wise, there's three songs co-written with Noel. And they did a little video. I think it's mainly talking about the song On the Game. So I think the idea was they sort of did that one, and then they ended up doing a couple more. And the On the Game one was funny because they hadn't heard the phrase "on the game" as in prostitution.
Yeah.
It's sort of, so it's fun that he built a sort of kind of song around that.
The cool thing about like On the Game, we got everything but the lyrics, you know, but the melody was there. And that, you know, we kind of made a point with making this album that for the first time we were going to like do it the way that maybe bands used to do it in the 70s, I guess. Like we were going to stay at the nicest hotels. We were going to have fun. So like when we were out in London, we were staying at the Chiltern Firehouse, just kind of partying every single night and then dragging ourselves to the studio. One night, Noel was hanging out with us and he was like pointing to some girl at the bar and he's like, "Oh, she's for sure on the game." And we were like, we've been to England, you know, 50 times, but we'd never heard that expression. And we're like, "What's that?" He's like, "Oh, she's, you know, a working girl. She's probably, you know, she's probably a prostitute." Which checks out, I think. There were a lot there. But then Dan was like, "Yeah, everybody here's on the game." But the making this record was so much fun.
But yeah, I personally like them all. I don't think any of them really stuck with me, to be honest. Like, I listened to them when it came out. Oh, cool, yeah, they're really nice and, you know, fine. And then I've gone back to them. I think there's actually a few songs on the album I prefer, like the ones with Beck and stuff. I think they're a bit more dirty and a bit more funky. But yeah. But yeah, no, I like them all. I think you've got On the Game, sort of that mid-paced, dreamy, everybody's a wah, 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 which is cool. Then what is it? You'll Pay, which has got that sound of dunk, ding, 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 almost like an Amy Winehouse kind of feel to it, which I think is great. And then the other one is
Only Love Matters.
Only Love Matters, which is kind of like a soulful Only Love Matters. You know, it's just it's got a cool soulful 70s vibe. So, you know, yeah, all of them are great. All of them I enjoyed very much, but none of them really jumped out to me as being like, you know, one that's going to be on a playlist for me for the future, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, yeah, word for word agree with your assessment there. Yeah, like they're good, but it's not, I was listening to them trying to figure out where was Noel's, what did he write and stuff, and probably the sort of George Harrison-y guitar on, I think it's On the Game, and then I think they kind of wrote them just from listening to Noel speak about it. I think they wrote them together. So there weren't any specific kind of, we'll never know, I guess, you know, who wrote what. But I think the lyrics were not written by Noel, and Noel contributed musically and melodically and maybe the arrangement. But yeah, you know, they're nice. I have listened to them a lot because I was trying to figure out who wrote what. But yeah, they're good enough songs, but nothing that is gonna, didn't blow me away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, fair enough. I agree. I'm with you there. Breaking news. The Oasis Twitter account, and obviously across all their socials. Obviously, I was listening to you there, Imran, 100%. I could exactly what you said, but I did the notification that Oasis have tweeted, and they've tweeted Subway listed stressed. So, what could that mean? Well, that's a what three words. Have you used what three words before? The little geo navigation thing.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so basically, it's like a little way. Say if
you to say
delivered exactly. To the house.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you,
yeah.
You don't want to just, your postcode's weird. Everywhere in the world, basically, has got this little reference. On and using three words. So they've just tweeted Subway listed stressed, and if you put in Subway listed stressed into what three words, where do you think it will give us?
Cool. Something definitely maybe related.
It is giving us Sawmill Studios, Cornwall.
Right.
Sawmill Studios. So what is going on there? What is going on? It was obviously an Oasis reunion, isn't it? No. I just think it's going to be just talking about the fact that the Sawmill Studios versions are being released on the Definitely Maybe.
That's it, yeah.
I don't think it'll be anything else like that. I mean, potentially there's... because they're doing filming there, like Liam was saying a couple of days ago on Twitter that he's got a photo shoot. So I suppose they're ramping up, they're getting all this stuff sorted.
Yeah.
But I guess that's what it is.
Have you seen Liam then? I know we're talking about Noel here, but have you seen Liam this year?
Yes, I saw Liam at Manchester Co-op. So I saw Liam at Manchester Co-op recently, and I'm seeing him again at Reading. I'm doing the full weekend at Reading.
Right. So I haven't seen him, and I was thinking about Reading.
Yeah.
Going, yeah. Are you going for the whole thing?
I'm going for the whole weekend, but because I live near Reading, so I'm just jumping on the train home every day. I'm not camping. God, I'm not. I'm not scum. But yeah, and then I've booked tickets to see Anthony Joshua versus Daniel Dubois at Wembley because I'm a big boxing fan. And then, like, literally the next day, they announced Liam's doing three tunes. So I'm like, whoa! So I'm actually going to see Liam twice in the less than a month.
Oh, nice one.
And if you count the co-op one a couple of months ago, I will have seen him three times in about 4 months. So yeah, that's pretty cool. But yeah, so anyway, so there we go. There's breaking news live on the Oasis podcast. But anyway, have we missed anything? Anything else to cover? I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, look, remind the people where they can find your stuff.
Yeah. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, The Anomaly Music. Usually, apart from Twitter, which is The Anomaly, and then 4 underscores, so I couldn't get The Anomaly Music. just on Spotify, it's The Anomaly, or Apple Music, or Amazon, whatever you use to stream. And I'm aiming to put out the rest of the songs that I've recorded, which will be an album of 10 songs, by the end of the year. And I'm also toying with the idea of putting out some covers and sort of B-sides, if you like.
Cool.
To some of the stuff that I've already released.
Well, you've heard me singing badly to give those Black Keys melodies, mate. So, you know, if you need a guest vocalist, I'm the one. But
you were in this game before me. You had your band in the 90s.
I play an excellent 20 seconds of our song Shine On, that is the little bit of music you hear at the start where Liam goes, yeah. That's my band. Our song was called Shine On, yeah, which I've put out on YouTube. I get asked every now and then, what's that little bit of music?
You couldn't get a more Oasis title, could you, without it being an Oasis title?
Do you think so? Funnily enough, being the singer in the band, it's actually the little instrumental bit at the start that I use, because it's like, you know,
it cut out just
I was 18, it was a long time ago. But anyway, mate, great to speak to you. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll catch you soon.
Cool. Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot. Unshakeable, 'cause we